Okay. It is October 21st, 2022, Sabbath Eve, Friday night, for those of you that are new to this truth. And we are on page 156 of Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1. And we're starting at the paragraph that says, after the death of Jacob. I think that's the second paragraph. Yeah. And so it says, after the death of Jacob, Joseph's brethren were filled with gloom and distress. They thought that Joseph had concealed his resentment out of respect for their father, and now that he was dead, he would be revenged for the ill treatment he had suffered at their hands. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. See, this is one of the things that sin just, you know, for lack of a better word, blesses people with, you know, unrepentant sin, or just, well, it's obviously there is some unrepentantness here, because they don't even have discernment to realize Joseph was serious when he said that God allowed for him to be sold as a slave so as to prevent him and his family from starving during the, you know, the plague of famine. But these guys are all about self-preservation, and so they don't even walk right, and they don't even discern right. They don't understand. That's the majority of the people today, by the way. That is the overwhelming majority of the people today that claim to be Christians, that is. And so this is today's world. But that's a sad thing that they're, you know, like if they had the chance, I wonder if they even go so far as to kill him, but obviously that didn't happen. But anyway, she goes on to say, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, because it's shocking for them to say that, you know, because they're scared, thinking that he's going to, you know, attack. And so, in other words, they didn't believe in what he said. And so, and his brethren, she says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Again, now he's going to repeat himself, obviously. You know, because God put him there. It wasn't them. They were used of God, of course, but that was because of their hatred. So God will use them in that manner, which is what's going to happen to us if we're part of the Gideon band, especially. If we're still going to make it home to heaven but can't make it into that number, we'll be martyred or, you know, die in your sleep or something like that. You know, because the deaths are going to start to get off the chart very soon, especially if they get their plans with the Great Reset and all this other stuff. And they're even talking about, somebody sent me something, but I can't really verify it. They're claiming that December 13th, this guy is online is saying that December 13th is when they're going to destroy the U.S. dollar. And if you don't have your money in the bank, it's going to be useless and all that, because they're going to go digital. Now, we know they're going to go digital, and he's proclaiming they're going to go digital, but towards the end of his spiel, because that's really what it was, he starts selling his books. And so it's another one of those fearmonger guys that, you know, Mr. You know, professional guy on the stock market showing, like, we should do this, we should do that. All of them are usually wrong, you know, but they never bring that up. They'll just keep selling this stuff, and people keep buying it. When they start selling stuff, you know that they're in it for the money. They're not in it to try to warn anybody. But the fact of the matter is, we know they're going to go digital. Whether it's going to happen at December 13 or not, who knows? Who cares? Seriously. Because we got streets of gold in our neighborhood when we get home. And we'll have perfect right to the city. It'll be our home. You know how you like say if you go out and about for a couple of weeks somewhere and you just want to go back home, and even if it's not as great as the, you know, like the places you visited and stuff, and like let's say you went on some kind of a sightseeing tour and you saw all these mansions and stuff like that, you still want to come home and relax in your own home. When we get home to heaven, it's going to be like that for eternity. That's our home, and we're the only ones that have right to it. But amen, they have to go digital to be able to control the dollar, because, you know, like what they're doing in China right now, it's a societal points. Like if you don't go along with what the government says, you won't be able to buy and sell anything. They just shut off your bank account. It used to take them 72 hours to shut down a bank account. Now they just flick a switch. Everybody's online. Everything's online. Your stove is online if you bought it recently. And so, unless, of course, you you know, disable the Wi-Fi internally, which I had to do. But yeah, it's, and we know this. You know, it's just like when I, like I was talking to the Lord about this earlier in the midday. When you look at all the craziness that's going on, and if it wasn't for me having the desire to be the watchman, on one of the watchmen on the wall, to go forth and proclaim this stuff, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with the news, but then again, I would. You know, because like when I was out there walking around, it says, you know, perfectly blue sky day up ahead, but all the corners, like the edges of the atmosphere, are white. Why? Because it's loaded down with chemtrails. They're dosing everybody on the planet. Why? Well, you'll find out in a year or two when they start manipulating. Like you coincide that with the food additives and the vaccines. Yeah, people are going to start dropping like flies even more. I mean, now they're calling it adult death syndrome. They're blowing it off. Why? Population control. You know that the Georgia Guidestones? Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're doing it now. And that's why somebody knocked it down, so they can keep it hidden now. They put that claim up there to scare people and to also make their global, it's kind of like a walkie-talkie thing where they're talking to each other, but behind closed doors where nobody knows they're actually saying anything. Kind of like the hidden hand thing what they would do with the pictures. So they're doing this all over the world, and when the ball's already rolling so far down the hill and they can't stop it, no one can stop it, now they destroy the evidence that this is what they were planning. That's why the Georgia Guidestones were blown up. Nobody knows who put those there, and nobody knows who blew them up. Isn't that kind of suspicious? Well, now, look it up online, adult death syndrome. Somebody sent me a video the other day, and it was like 37 minutes long of people just dropping dead. And they're all saying, oh, we have no clue. And every single solitary one of those people got the vaccine. Every one of them. Every single solitary one of them. Well, you mix that, like, because we were talking about this years ago in regards to the flu shots. I never even got one of those. And what they used to, because you saw it one time, this one small town near our home, everybody in the town got the flu. But that town also got inundated with chemtrails. You know, about 6 months prior. They all got dosed, and somehow they all got sick. It's just experimenting all over the world. Why? Sister White predicted, she prophesied, that Satan would poison the atmosphere. And so that's what so I was out there praying. I'm looking up, and I see all these trails over my house and stuff like that, but I know they're not going to come down on me. One time they did, but the Lord prevented it from causing any damage because they came down as cobwebs. I can't breathe in cobwebs, but I certainly can breathe in dust, right, which you can't see. So he somehow solidified them, and I actually got pictures and everything. Went around all my land, and it just looked like we had cobwebs all over our land. Pure white cobwebs, though, all over the place. And but what they usually do is they put these chemtrails, especially in the rural areas, because they know when they start to spread out and look like clouds, by the time they're ready to fall down on a population, they'll be over a specific city or cities, you know, and that's what they do. So another reason to get out of the cities, you know, you don't want to be, because they're dosing everybody there. And so I kind of went off track there, but when I was looking at all this, I was thinking, Father God, even if they were able to dose us here, we know that even if we drink any or eat any poisonous thing, it will not harm us. And so the Lord will protect his people to the point that no matter how much dosing we receive, we're going to be fine, perfectly fine. We have a God. The rest of them do not. See, that's our duty, to try to get them out to introduce them to our God. It always reminds me of that Nazi soldier trying to scare that one Christian into doing something that he refused to do. And so what they did is they brought a German shepherd into the room. Big old 140-pound German shepherd, right? And they had this little tiny vial about the size of your pinky finger. And in it was some liquid. And the guy took the vial, put a toothpick in the vial, and then touched the tongue of the dog, and the dog died violently within 30 seconds. A bunch of seizures and just died. It was some kind of poison, right? And so they told the Christian, if you do not do this or whatever they were trying to get him to say, do, or whatever, he says, we are going to, you know, shove this down your throat. He refused, and they shoved it down his throat, and yeah, nothing happened. You know, our God is an awesome God. our God will protect us. Hence, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then guys like this, though, with, you know, with the German Shepherd and all that, you don't hear about that a lot, do you? No. I heard it many years ago and never heard of it again. Never again. It's just like when somebody we knew was out there in some city or village in Africa, and he needed a translator, and because he only spoke English, and so he's sharing the truth with these people that speak Swahili, and he don't speak Swahili, and so they had a translator come in, and so he's preaching, the translator, you know, translates it, and he's preaching, the translator translates it, and he's, you know, just going on and on. All of a sudden, somebody in the congregation steps up and tells the translator to be quiet, because the preacher's speaking perfect Swahili, even better than the translator was doing. But yet, the preacher was just speaking English. That is biblical tongues. That's what happened on Pentecost. What you see in all these Pentecostal churches, they even try to claim the name. They're just, it's falderal. It's gibberish. That's all it is. So going on, she says, but as for you, ye thought evil. Joseph's talking to his brothers, obviously, and they're all scared, you know, knees are knocking, and they're bowing before him. And he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So he has to repeat himself, because that's what he said at the start when he finally revealed himself as being their brother. And so again, now she says, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph could not bear the thought that his brethren should think that he harbored a spirit of revenge toward them, whom he cordially loved. Joseph illustrates Christ. Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. He was rejected and despised because his acts were righteous, and his consistent self-denying life was a continual rebuke upon those who professed piety, but whose lives were corrupt. How many of us have seen this? You know, I used to be one of 11 kids, and I've seen it firsthand how it would happen. You could walk into a room and declare unto all, it doesn't even have to be, it could just be your, like, co-workers or whatever, you know, because not that we're all a bunch of prophets, but we do understand prophecy, but you could step into a room and, you know, like Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own land, because all they're going to do is remember who you used to be when you come walking up. They're not going to see you as a Christian now, a God-fearing, blessed, obedient child of God. They're not going to see that. They're just going to see whoever you used to be, right? And so you could walk into this room and used to smoke, let's say, for decades, and you walk in and you say, oh, man, I feel good today because I was able, you know, I quit smoking. And they go, oh, wow, man, that's great. You're a better man than I. You know, that's, I tried for years, couldn't quit. And all this, and they're all, you know, slapping you on the back and all this other stuff. So finally, one of them goes and says, how did you do it? How? Because we've been trying for years. How on earth did you do it? And so I asked Jesus to help me, and he allowed me to become a non-smoker instantly. I mean, the craving, everything was gone. And they go, what do you think you are? Better than us? It's like a breakneck turn. It's kind of like those guys that were watching Paul when he came out of that, you know, the shipwreck. You know, like he gets bit by the viper that comes out of the fire, right? And he goes, oh boy, he must have been a killer. The gods are destroying him. I mean, even though he didn't die in the shipwreck, they're making sure he dies now because that viper just bit him. But then when he doesn't fall down dead after a while, now they're calling him a god. It's just, it's human nature. It's just stupid. It's just ridiculous. But that's human nature. You know, if you don't have Christ, all you've got to rely on is flesh. That's it. And that ain't very reliable. So going on, she says, Joseph's integrity and virtue were fiercely assailed, and she who would lead him astray could not be prevail. Therefore, her hatred was strong against the virtue and integrity which she could not corrupt, and she testified falsely against him. What? Why does it say she here all of a sudden? He was rejected and despised. Self-denying life was a continual rebuke of those professed piety. Okay. And then it says, Joseph's integrity and virtue were fiercely assailed, and she who would lead him astray could not prevail. Therefore, her hatred was strong against the virtue. I'm wondering, I imagine this is supposed to be talking about Potiphar's wife, and was strong against the virtue and integrity which she could not corrupt, and she testified. Yeah, that's Potiphar's wife. The innocent suffered because of his righteousness. He was cast into prison because of his virtue. Joseph was sold to his enemies by his own brethren for a small sum of money. the Son of God was sold to his bitterest enemies by one of his own disciples. Jesus was meek and oh, by the way, you got to keep an eye on that, by one of his own disciples. There's a lot of Judas Iscariots out there. We used to have one that was a pastor in the SDR movement. They will literally break bread with you, kiss you on the cheek, and then turn around and stab you in the back and do all they can to destroy you because you tried to help them when they fell into sin. Now, think about that. When it gets hot and heavy out there, you know, with the buy and sell situation and the martyrdom start going up, you know, getting kicked up a notch, and then you get all, you know, we're getting real close to when they, you know, pass the bill for the death decree. There's going to be people you thought were strong. You know, many bright, like Sister White said, many bright lights are going to be going out. But before they go out all the way, Satan's going to have his way with them. Hence the reason you got to stay in the Word daily. You don't want to be that person. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, that Paul said that. Many of us, myself included, have seen people that have come against us seeking to do something to us when it actually happens to them. Right down to death. I mean, not just, you know, financial destruction or some kind of whatever problem. Yeah. It's you know, our God does, we have a God. They do not. And I don't chuckle, you know, just, you know, against them. No, I chuckle because our God's amazing. As a little kid, when the very first time I chuckled in regards to him was I was out walking to the woods looking for toads or frogs or snakes or whatever out in a prairie when I couldn't have been 8 or 9, something like that. And I came across either a butterfly wing. I think it was a butterfly wing because my dad had bought me a chemistry set with a microscope. So I was going to go home and I found out that just by looking at that wing underneath a microscope that they, you know, the butterfly does not have colors in their wings at all. It's all refraction. That's all it is. Those butterfly wings are covered in scales, and it depends on each scale will reflect a certain, will refract, rather, look up refract. I want to explain it. It refracts certain areas of the spectrum of white light, and white light isn't white light. Get a prism, or better yet, just go outside on a sunny day when it starts raining. You'll see a prism that's planet-wide. It's called a rainbow. And so, yeah, white light has all the different colors within it. And that's how a butterfly wing works. It has scales to where it refracts light. It causes certain spectrums of the prism, if you will, of light to hit your eyeball. And that made me chuckle. Or it could have been that caterpillar. There was a caterpillar that was covered in all these different colors, and I think it was all the different stripes. I think it was that one that made me chuckle. And what it was, I chuckled because, you know, I giggled a little bit because, wow, you are amazing, God. I mean, because that was the most beautiful thing I ever saw. And I, you know, I picked it up. I was just messing with it for, because I remember that caterpillar too. But, yeah, he's an amazing God. She goes on. His was a life of unexampled self-denial, goodness, and holiness. She's talking about Joseph still. And he was not guilty of any wrong, yet false witnesses were hired to testify against him like they do to this day. You know, how many people, like I said earlier, that one 30-minute or 20-minute, it wasn't a sermon, it was more or less a dissertation. It was actually an answer to a question, because there was a little bit of a scuffle going on spiritually and in Fire Talk decades ago when we were the first ones to do church online. And this one preacher was declaring that I was in error, declared the Seventh-day Adventist Church had fallen into the arms of Babylon. And so I says, okay, you speak 30 minutes, I'll speak 30 minutes. Something like that. I think it was 20 or 30 minutes. And then we did. And I says, oh, and by the way, nobody recorded because the temptation won't be there to edit the recording. So I didn't record it, but he did. And the next day, he decided to play the recordings in his chat room to his brethren, so that he thought were, you know, trusted him. And he spoke, you know, he shared his 30-minute, whatever it was, and then mine was like 8 or 9 minutes or something. He edited the daylights out of it. And this is what they do. They will bear false witness against us. They will say we're saying things we never did. As a matter of fact, a Judas Iscariot just did it recently, took some statements that I said in a sermon. That's what I'm saying. They're listening to our sermons. And they come in here, and they take it. And then they edit it and put it in a video. Make it look like I said something I never said. But again, it's who cares? you know, they're fighting a losing battle. They've already lost, and so there's really lies always hit the ground. That's why they have to keep on redoing them, and so that's nothing that we have to be concerned with. It's going to get intense, off the chart in the coming days. We all got to get used to it. And, you know, when I look back at all the times that I've seen this happen over the years, it never stopped us. We continued forward, and we're still going forward, proclaiming the truth. The Lord is still blessing us off the chart, you know, letting us do what we do and go forth. And He is glorified, and the people come in, you know, and people are blessed. And, but you got to pray for them too, still, because, and I do daily, three of them by name to this day, because they're still, in grave danger. Anyway, goes on. He was hated because he had been a faithful reprover of sin and corruption. Remember when I was talking about the cigarettes? Yeah, they got it. Or when I sent out, back then it was like 12 pages. Now if I sent it out, it'd be like 40. My information that I had about proving every aspect of Christmas, right down to the mistletoe, is all paganism. And when I sent it out, that's more or less when I got disowned, you know. And the only reason I say disowned is, it wasn't an official meeting. They all made a contract. He has been disowned. No, it wasn't like one of those things. It was just like shunned, I guess, black sheep, you know. I didn't hear from it. Some of them still. It's been decades, my siblings. But I still love them. I still pray for them every day. Everyone on the prayer list, as a matter of fact. And some of you come up by name, and because some of you are going through some stuff. And so we pray for you. My wife and I, but this is, again, this is the norm, and it's going to be like this, and it's going to be so much worse in the coming days. Hence the reason for these experiences in Scripture that Joseph went through, or Daniel went through in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Mordecai and Esther, and all the things that you see happening in the Scriptures, or even David, you know, when he had his big old boo-boo, you know, murder and, well, adultery and then murder, you know, and so, but yeah, it's just more or less teaching us how to respond to these situations and how, and I couldn't believe I heard this, you know, I have heard this, and more than one quote-unquote preacher, and the only way I can do it is I can do it that way, because they are definitely no longer allowed on a pulpit once they commit adultery, So they did say, well, David was forgiven, and he stayed on the throne. He says, oh, so now you're a king? See, that's what they do. They'll twist the Bible verse out of context and say, well, because David was... As a matter of fact, one of their wives actually sent a big, long dissertation and say, yeah, he committed adultery, but because David was allowed to stay. Of course, ignoring all the scriptures in regard to this and all the spirit of prophecy. This is today's world. And this is how deep the corruption goes that she's talking about. And it was no different back then. Now it's just a little bit more known thanks to the internet and stuff. But, man, it really is going fast, like she said, like right before the end. It's going to speed up extremely fast, she said. And it is now. I mean, look what we see happening with that video I just put up the other day about them. They're trying to remove the separation of church and state. So I was like, well, that's a good thing. Remove the separation of church. Do you understand what that means? There's a reason the church and state are not allowed to join together. Oh, I didn't realize that. You know, because a lot of people didn't catch that. That video I did, I had to keep changing the title, and still some people ain't catching it. When they remove the separation of church and state, that means the church and the state work together, supposedly for the people. No, it's against the people. That's exactly how the beast of, you know, Revelation, you know, the first beast did it during the Inquisition. That's how they were able to kill 500 million Christians during the Inquisition. You know, they had absolute power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, because they were a church and a state. They had all the power. That's why the prophecy stated all the Protestant churches in America and all the other, like, what is it, T215 or 4 or something like that in Canada, they have a 501c3 as well, but they just don't call it 501c3. It's T2014 or something like that. And all the other nations have one, too. They all have the same thing. And they're joining their churches with the state because the prophecy is clear. All the churches have to emulate the Vatican. They have to do as the Vatican did so that the churches can make it legal to kill. Why? Plague 6, when they go to surround us. Well, actually, right before Plague 1. But it's not legal until Plague 6, even though they're killing like crazy when the buy and sell thing goes down, you know, before Plague 1, you know, when they use climate change to enforce the mark and say that you can't buy and sell anything unless you keep Sunday holy. And that'll weed out a lot of weak Christians. A lot of bright lights are going to go out that day. And so when they, or that year or whatever, and so when they weed them all out and they're going to realize Satan's going to know there's going to be people like us out there. They, no, stand firm. You know, there's going to be a bunch of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego's, Daniels, Esther's, and Mordecai's out there, and they ain't going to be able to deal, you know, the thing once, so they'll come up with the death decree. That's when the killings stop. Right there. As a matter of fact, I got a page on the website called One Hour with the Beast. It's I got the quotes from Ellen White and everything like that on there in regards to how the killings do stop on that very day. So anyway, she goes on to say, let's see here. I'm confused. Hold on a second here. Why? Oh, okay. All right, so it says, Joseph's brethren stripped him of his coat of many colors. The executioners of Jesus cast lots for his seamless coat. Joseph's brethren proposed to kill him, but were finally content to sell him as a slave to prevent his becoming greater than themselves. They thought that they had placed him where they would be no more troubled with his dreams and where there would not be a possibility of their fulfillment. Now keep in mind, this isn't today's world. This is thousands of years ago when they understood. I mean, if you look in the book of Job, you know, the back and forth with his friends, you know, quote-unquote friends, and even his wife telling him to curse God and die, that young kid comes up and he talks about the dreams. They knew that God speaks to people that won't listen in dreams or even do listen in dreams. You know, most of us do have dreams. He does speak to most of us when we're, you know, in dreams. When it steps outside the family, it's different. A lot of times we'll have dreams about our general area, our families and stuff like that. But it's amazing when you think about how he does do that. And so they thought that they could, you know, somehow prevent his dreams from coming to fruition, when in fact their actions against him is actually what caused them to come to fruition. And that's the reason for the dreams. But they had no clue because they didn't understand anyway. They were very, very wicked, like today's world. I mean, there's a lot of people out there having this. Why do I keep having this dream? I'm walking around naked or walking around in my underwear. Well, look up your clothing in prophecy. Your robe, your garment in prophecy means your walk. You're walking around naked. You ain't walking with Christ. For eternity, that robe of light is going to be Christ, our righteousness, of the righteousness of Christ upon us. Hence the reason the Seventh-day Adventist Church denied that message in 1888 when they preached Christ and his righteousness. You know, that was the day that was the big fall. But then when they finally embraced their fall to Rome, and the Jesuits had absolute control in 1980, they literally changed the statement of faith of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's no longer an SDA church. They kept the name, but they changed, you know, their statement of faith. They changed their religion. I got a video showing on one side of the screen the original statement of faith, and on the other side of the screen their present-day statement of faith. Two different churches. But yet, the SDAs believe that, never call that church Babylon. That's what Sister White said during her day when they were calling it, in her day, Babylon. They took her completely out of context, even chronologically, because she even stated later that they will become Babylon, but those things, yeah, they're not going to be on the pulpits with those. So going on, it says, but the very course which they pursued, God overruled to bring about that which they designed never should take place, that he should have dominion over them. Like I said a minute ago, their actions against them to try to prevent his dreams from coming to fruition is actually what caused them to come to fulfillment. She goes on, the chief priests and elders were jealous of Christ, that he would draw the attention of the people away from themselves to him. They knew that he was doing greater works than they ever had done or ever could perform, and they knew that if he was suffered to continue his teachings, he would become higher in authority than they and might become king of the Jews. They agreed together to prevent this by privately taking him and hiring witnesses to testify falsely against him, that they might condemn him and put him to death. That will happen to some of us. Some of us may be put to death. Some of us may be just sitting in the dungeon waiting on some food that never comes from man. But if the Lord has to do it, there's going to be manna falling out of the ceiling of the, you know, the room we're in. He'll feed us. Prophecy, sure. We have a God. He literally said, your bread and your waters shall be sure. Take him at his word, okay? Don't gild the lily. Don't think, well, what if? No, there are no what ifs. There are no gray areas in the way our God speaks or does things. It's just no gray areas. See, that's the reason all the Christians for the last 2,000 years have a real, real, real difficult time to get prayers answered. Because they don't believe God's even hearing them. They don't even believe he's going to answer them. Because he never did before. You know, that's what the devil tells them in the back of their mind. And because they listen to him more than they do God, that makes more sense to them. Because lies, I mean, this is the age of lying. I've been saying that for decades. Because this is what it's all about. Satan's last hurrah. And if it's his last hurrah, well, then it's got to have to be all about lies. That's his native tongue. This is how he works. Come on, the very first sin in all the universe, he lied to his fellow angels about our Heavenly Father. And then when he saw how well that worked, he lied again to Eve about saying God lied when he says that you're going to die if you touch that food. Well, that very day. And she did. She started dying that very day. She says, you know, well, she didn't die that very day. Well, first of all, a day is 1,000 years to the Father. A day in prophecy is 1 year. But here's the fact. She did die that day. He says, no, she didn't. She died. Or like Adam died that day. Let's put it that way. He says, well, no, he didn't. He died 939 years later. But what did he die of? Old age. Yeah. He contracted old age the second he bit that fruit. So the second he bit that fruit, he was dying. It's just like with drinking alcohol. Oh, I just take a little wine, right? They say, some people say, I just take a little wine. Even if you take a half a teaspoon and it touches your tongue, you're defiling the body for one thing. So you're in sin openly right there. And number two, you're drunk because the alcohol going into a human body kills brain cells. Regardless of how much you drink, there are going to be some, it might only kill off 2 or 3 brain cells if you just have a little sip. Who knows? But you want to take that chance? I don't think so. You don't think that's very, very wise. It's very, very stupid, in fact. But a lot of people will go for, it's just like with anything else. Like when I think of air flight, especially in the 1950s when the planes kept falling out of the skies and you kept hearing about plane crashes, and that's why people had a fear of flying. Even to this day, even as they say, oh, you're more safer in an airplane than you are on the highways. Oh, so what you're saying is a plane never, ever, 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 ever crashes. No, they still crash. Well, so you're throwing the dice. You're still taking a chance. Strange. Anyway. She goes on, they would not accept him as their king, but cried out, crucify him, crucify him. The Jews thought that by taking the life of Christ, they could prevent him or prevent his becoming king. But by murdering the Son of God, they were bringing about the very thing they thought to prevent. Same thing went down with Joseph. See, that's the reason you got to study the Word. Oops. What you see in the Word, there's all, like, you remember how I talked last week or the week before about prophetic innuendo? You see this all over the Old, well, the First Testament, what a lot of people call Old Testament. It's all over the place, prophetic innuendo. It's in the New Testament as well. It doesn't look like a prophecy. Take the parables, for example. Look at the prodigal son. That's loaded with prophetic innuendo. It's talking about the end of the world. Jesus will be back in 2,000 years. Even paid, you know, for 2 days worth of lodging. How long is a day to God our Father? 1,000 years, right? Loaded with prophetic innuendo. And so when you see these things going down in the scriptures, you know this is how it's going to go on for us. That's why I've always said, the book of Esther, read it. That's what we're going to go through. Same exact thing, only different it's global and a lot more death. But still, does death scare you? It shouldn't. Just taking a nap. Death is easy. It's the people that are left behind that have to deal with grieving. That's the hard part. That's what I've known for decades. Death is not the least bit fearful. You all just go to sleep every night, right? There's Eskimos. Literally, some old school Eskimos that believe they'd... You ask them how old they are, they go, one day. The guy could be old as dirt. You walk up to the guy and you go, how old are you? And he goes, one day, I was born this morning. They believe every time they go to bed at night, they die, and they get up the next day and they're newly born. They ignore all the wrinkles, obviously, but still, that's what they believe. But that's not truth. And so, but yeah, death is easy. It's you know, some people, oh, sometimes it's painful. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's all sorts of things that all of us have gone through, you know, in life that can be painful. And sometimes some deaths are extremely painless, but it doesn't mean that we should seek it out. You know, we got work to do. Besides, you know, commandment number 6, I mean, you know, self-murder is just as bad as murder, you know. So let's see how much further this has to go, because I just noticed the clock. I'm way over. Okay, we can stop here at the next paragraph. It says, because that brings me in for a whole 45 minutes anyway, because I started way late. So Joseph, by being sold by his brethren into Egypt, became a savior to his father's family. Yet this fact did not lessen the guilt of his brethren. The crucifixion of Christ by his enemies made him the redeemer of mankind, the savior of the fallen race, and ruler over the whole world. The crime of his enemies was just as heinous as though God's providential hand had not controlled events for his own glory and the good of man. Well, amazing, amazing, amazing. So let's see, Joseph walked with God. Okay, yeah, we can pick it up here next week because it does kind of start a new topic. So I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Let us get on our knees and thank our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us with this inspired work. Just as the First Testament, the Second Testament, and now the Spirit of Prophecy, they're all inspired. She's a prophet just like any of the other prophets. And so we thank you for giving us an understanding of that and then verifying left and right that she is a prophet. By the way, everything is backed up by Scripture and how the Jesuits attack her writings in the exact same way they attack the Scripture, by trying to rewrite them. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us so that when the latter rain falls, we are worthy and ready to receive it so that we can go forth and glorify you and not self. Thank you for totally removing self from us, you know, denying the flesh. And thank you so much for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that have come against us, Father, because there's not a lot of time for them to repent. And those that think they're Christians but are not, please forgive them as well and help them to bend the knee. And Father, we have many children, myself included, that aren't walking as they should. Please bless our children. Please keep a hedge of angels all around them, including a hedge of angels with seeds of truth, because we know they minister unto us. We saw how he used the angels to tell the prophets to speak of old, give them the words to speak. And so thank you for continuing to do that, to share with these people that you love and we love. And thank you for blessing this work, this church family, this global church family, and giving us an opportunity to see these things that the prophets of old all wanted to look into. And we offer this prayer unto you and this praise in the name of your precious Son, our Creator, our Savior, and our King for all of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.